Cosmos Israelí, Tierra Santa, encuentros, valores. Cosmos Israelí, creación, tradición, patrimonio, actualidad, comunidades, diálogo, puentes culturales. Cosmos Israelí, Tierra Santa, con Ángela María Arbeláez.
Cosmos Israelí, Tierra Santa y Radio Sefarad continúan su recorrido por la ciudad bíblica de Beer-Sheva gracias a la invitación del área cultural de la oficina de prensa del gobierno de Israel. Hemos dejado atrás los sonidos del mortero en la bella tienda beduina en Lahav, así como la extraordinaria hospitalidad de los beduinos. La ciudad se remonta a los tiempos del patriarca Abraham, teniendo sus inicios en el sitio arqueológico de Tel Colina Beer-Sheva, al noreste de la moderna urbe.
All of us, the Jews, the Christians and the Muslims, a big one family. And it came to that 36 years ago, 1979, President Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, after he went to sign the peace agreement between Israel and Egypt, he insisted to come here to Beer-Sheva because he wanted to be at the place where the first peace agreement in history was signed between Abraham and Avimelech, the king of Gerar. We have evidence about the existence of the well going back to the 12th century, the time of the Crusades, when they say that on their way to conquer Jerusalem, they stopped here and they heard from the locals about Abraham's well in this position. And during the entire history, this place was very important to all the population here in the area. So first I'm going to show you a small photo. This is the photo of the well from the end of the 19th century. It's a desert around it, become a magnificent city. You cannot see the desert anymore when you go out. You see a big and beautiful city. And this is the photo, the way the place used to look like before we built the new complex. The well was always here. Because it was very small, the big international press conference of Anwar Sadat visiting Beer-Sheva was here. And this is the city walls of the city council of Beer-Sheva. And then we have Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, Mubarak, his deputy at that time, Yitzhak Navon, our fifth president, Menachem Begin, our sixth prime minister, all which came here just because one man, Abraham, lived here over 3,000 years ago. So this place is not just the place of Abraham, but it's also a place of peace.
La parada en los pozos de Abraham nos deja impresionados. Nuestra guía nos cuenta que el pozo es famoso desde las cruzadas. Abraham vivió acá y por eso todos quieren visitarlo, desde el presidente Anwar Sadat y muchos líderes más. un lugar importante para los musulmanes, cristianos y judíos, un lugar de paz. Y es que en esta ciudad bíblica que no parece estar en el corazón del desierto, los museos de la cultura islámica, Oriente Próximo y de arte del Negev son otra de las atracciones más importantes. En la que fuese una mezquita otomana, erigida en 1906, hoy se exhiben antiguas placas funerarias, inscripciones en mármol, con exquisita caligrafía en árabe y bellos detalles florales. El dintel de entrada está adornado con el monograma Tugra Tugra del sultán Abdul Hamid II, quien vivió entre 1842 y 1918, una verdadera obra de arte que también se usó en sellos, monedas y otros documentos oficiales.
Café Beersheba is very much enhancing the story of the first peace between the patriarch Abraham and Elimelech, who's taking place somewhere here. But we are talking now about Ottoman Beersheba. It was there was no city here before the Ottomans built it. That's something that it's important to say. Why they built here? It's an interesting question to inquire. This is the Ottomans ruled Palestine or the Holy Land for 400 years, from 1517 to 1917. And they build a lot in places, maybe you know in Jerusalem, quite important projects of the walls, and they build some mosques around the country. But the only place where they built a city from scratch is Beersheba. It's probably had to do with some geopolitical issues, the railway, Egypt, you know. It's the building of the government. It was later on became the British police, and now it's military. There is a lot going on in Iran, and it's now a military holding here. Hopefully it will be evacuated soon and we can take it over and make it a museum. This was the governor's mansion, and it became all sorts of things, including once between the 1950s and 1970s, the municipality of Beersheba. And this is the Great Mosque, and it also had a long history. Among them, all these things, it was a
Además de las selectas piezas que reciben al visitante en el bello patio, en el interior podemos observar muy interesantes exposiciones temporales. La de hoy es de fotografía y tapetes. La pequeña colección de este museo se enriquece con la imponente arquitectura del recinto, nos dice su curadora Sharon Lahor Shirak. Recordemos que el Comité Islámico del Negev, junto con la Asociación para la Asistencia y Protección de los Derechos de los Beduinos, pidieron ante las Cortes que esta edificación se restituyera como lugar de oración. Finalmente, la Corte Suprema de Justicia de Israel en el año 2011 determinó que, abro comillas, su uso fuese para Museo de la Cultura Islámica y de Oriente Próximo, cierro comillas.
Restoration started around 2008. The fact that the building was closed caused not only this fact, but this was really kind of a trigger to an appeal to the High Court of Israel by a group of Muslims, Muslim movements in the south and the north, Adala, which is an organization that deals with legal issues, and they demanded that the place would be reopened as an active mosque. I just want to remind you that this place has not been an active mosque since October 1948. So by claiming it back, it's actually claiming it back to the pre-state function, which the municipality of Be'er Sheva did not agree, because this was a museum, it was part of the historical part of Be'er Sheva, and it's in the middle of the city with also other things here. So the idea of having an active mosque in the middle of the city was rejected. I should add that Muslims have places to pray in Be'er Sheva, but not a mosque. And they have prayer rooms in various sites around the city. So the issue of using the mosque is not a purely religious one. It has other intentions, I believe. The thing was in discussion in the court for about 12 years. There was a compromise suggestion that it will be a museum, but not the museum that the municipality of Be'er Sheva wanted. It wanted an archaeological museum of the Negev, and the museum will be dedicated to Islamic cultures and the culture of the people of the East. None of the sides agreed to this compromise when it was proposed around 2006 or something. I don't remember the details. So eventually the court decided to rule that to make the compromise a ruling. So in June 2011, there was a decision of the High Court that the place will not serve as a prayer site, will not be a mosque, it will be a museum dedicated to the cultures of Islam and the peoples of the East. This is roughly the translation from the Hebrew. Those of you, it should be mentioned that making a museum out of a building like this, it's a great idea of the judges in Jerusalem, but they have no idea what museums actually means. And we don't have anything in the collection. And museums normally around the world start with a collection. For us, it's the building, it's item number one in the collection, but otherwise we don't have any other. Item number two you don't have. So how do you make it a museum without a collection? And without the facilities of the museum, we nominated a curator, Dr. Sharon Laur-Sirak, who is with us this morning, who is an expert on Islamic art and architecture. And gradually we devised the nature of the building, of the museum, the first exhibition and its context and its spirit, and all this you will hear in a short while. And luckily we got some money from the government. That was very, it was quite a generous allocation of money, because otherwise it would be impossible to do what you will see. Unfortunately, it was a one-off, so from now on we have to be on our own with a tiny budget, and that's very fine.
Justo al frente, pasando el jardín, se encuentra el Museo de Arte del Negev, y cuyo edificio rectangular también se construyó durante el periodo otomano a principios del siglo XX. Gracias a una reciente remodelación, se ha restaurado a su esplendor original. Su directora y curadora, Dalia Manor, nos recibe y guía por sus alas.
Anyway, Yanko immigrated to Palestine in 1941 after the pogrom of Bucharest, which was really a horrific incident and the most significant one of his with the Holocaust. And some of these visions of
La exposición dedicada al artista Marcel Janco, mayo 24, 1895, abril 1984, nacido en Rumania y quien emigró después del pogrom de 1941 a Israel, ocupa el primer piso del museo. Janco fue uno de los fundadores del dadaísmo. Su obra nos recuerda al Guernica de Pablo Picasso, llena de color, fuerza y expresión. En la segunda planta del Museo de Arte del Negev tenemos la oportunidad de deleitarnos con obras de arte cuya materia prima es el papel, pulpa y ficción, pulp and fiction. Iniciativa de Laura Bejar, estudiante de taller del papel de la estación de Berseba, quien continúa la tradición de Joyce Smith, fundadora del taller. En la muestra participan artistas de los 5 continentes, expertos en la creación de obras de arte que tienen como base el papel natural.
Paper making. So and since then they make paper. Artists who work in this workshop made papers in the early 1980s. Made paper from Mitnan, and this works by Laura Bejar, who was one of the students of the original workshop of paper. She creates all these things from Mitnan, from this paper. So it's difficult to believe, but it's all made of paper, which is very strong. So hopefully you'll, as I said, you will look and consider paper in a different way nowadays, and also what can be done in small museums like ours, even though, you know, we don't have all the spaces and all the...
Eras frágiles y sobre todo poéticas que honran el arte inventado en la China hace 2000 años. Con las composiciones abstractas del artista israelí Ruth Banai y She, ella de la polaca Miroslava Truch-Stanowiska, terminamos nuestra visita y recorrido al Museo de Arte del Negev. El sabor del helado de leche fresca de la más famosa heladería de Beersheba, Israel, Glida, nos despide de Beersheba, la ciudad de los 7 pozos.
The trademark actually has been established at 1950, which means 65 years ago. The establisher of this place was an old woman that came from Europe, immigrated from Europe. Her name was Julia Rotenberg. This is the photo of her. You see, Julia Rotenberg is immigrating here at 1950, which means taking ice cream. She could done just 5 tastes of this ice cream. And you know, we are dealing about the Negev, we are dealing about being in the desert. Being in the desert, you need, first of all, water and something to refresh yourself. Otherwise, you cannot survive. And this is the reason that by the time, at the first, second and third decade, Glida Beersheba started from local shop here and began to be a national chain. Today in Israel, we have more than 20 shops of Glida Beersheba. In every place in Israel, we can find Glida Beersheba. But this is the beginning, this is the original first shop of Beersheba ice cream, and actually one of the most popular places. Now it's middle day, Rehov HaChalutz, HaChalutz Street is now renovating, so there is no so much movement, but day by day, when it will be accessed again, it's a very popular place.
Say again your name, please.
My name is Itzik Peres, like the president, the 9th president of the state of Israel, Shimon Peres, Itzhak Peres. Okay, it's half from Yitzhak Rabin, it's half from Shimon Peres. Yitzhak Peres.
El primer ministro italiano, Matteo Renzi, afirmó en su discurso en la Knesset, Parlamento israelí, que Israel es el Estado-nación del pueblo judío. Reconocer a Israel es reconocer la realidad. Mateo Renzi se reunió también con el presidente Reuven Rivlin durante su visita oficial a la región. Más información pueden tener leyendo el diario Aurora Israel o en su página web www.auroraisrael.co.il. Muchísimas gracias por estar con nosotros. Y recuerden que en este programa escucharon las voces de las doctoras Sharon Laor Shirak, Dalia Menor y los guías de la Municipalidad de Beer Sheva. Hasta pronto.